Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. The food truck phenomenon was a bit late in arriving in Milwaukee compared to some cities, but there is an apparent renaissance underway. Buying food from a vendor on the street here is about more than lukewarm hot dogs. It's gourmet cuisine, ranging from Asian to pizza to West African to now soup. Steve Perlstein is optimistic that Milwaukeeans will enthusiastically slurp his tantalizingly sumptuous savory liquid concoctions. His enterprise, the Simmer Truck, officially comes off the back burner and to a full boil this weekend. Perlstein brought along some tomato basil soup to the Lake Effect studio recently and gave us what he hopes is his recipe for mobile restaurant success. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mitch. Great to be here.
It's great to have you here and great to have you bring some soup by the studio. Let me start you with this question. Why does Milwaukee need a soup truck?
Well, who doesn't like soup? And there's a few good soup restaurants in town, but you can't start those up and drive them around. And so
Let's talk about that point for starters, because you could be starting a soup restaurant like the other handful of soup restaurants that are out there. What is it about the truck part of the equation that's appealing to you?
Well, the original plan was to open up a brick and mortar soup restaurant right near here in downtown. But as we got into it, as we tried to find investors, as we tried to work out the logistics of all that, the truck just started making more and more sense. It costs about a fifth as much. It's cooler. It's mobile. There's a lot more flexibility. You know, my wife and I are doing this together, and it offers a lot more freedom for us. It's a lot more fun. So why not?
Well, and talk about your own soup cred, if you will.
I became a chef about 12 years ago after being a reporter for a lot of years and in publishing for a lot of years. And as I got more into cooking, as I did it more and more, longer and longer professionally, the part that really got me excited was soups and sauces, stocks. It's a fun process for me, building those layers of flavor. It's incredibly satisfying. I love eating soup, so I love making soup. And so I've just been playing with it and developing my own style of soup ever since.
You have been a professional chef in your career leading up to this. Talk about style. How would you describe your style of soup?
I'm a huge fan of technique. I don't try to limit myself to a certain kind of cuisine. I really focus on technique. And when I make soup, I focus on building layers of flavor. You know, people who make soup by throwing some vegetables in a pot and throwing some water and throwing some spices in, that's not me. You know, I'm sautéing the vegetables and sweating them, and I'm deglazing with wine, and I'm adding different layers, and at the end, I think it comes. You come out with something that's a richer, better flavor, deeper flavor.
You brought in a supply, if you will, a large thermos of.
I didn't want anyone going hungry.
of tomato basil soup. How would you put the soup you brought into the Lake Effect bungalow in the context of that style you just described? Talk about the layers that come through in something that seems like a deceptively simple soup.
Yeah, that's a great example of it. So I start with onions and I'm sweating those onions.
Sweating. Talk about what does sweating onions mean?
That's a low temperature saute so that you don't add any color. I'm just cooking them until they're essentially clear. And then I'm putting a pretty good amount of white wine in and deglazing it with the white wine, reducing that wine down so that the alcohol is not a factor, and it's not a prevalent flavor, but the white wine flavor is. Then I'm adding ground tomatoes and I'm adding vegetable stock. So that's those are other flavors. I do something a little unique with my tomato soup, and when I make marinara sauce, anything with tomatoes, especially canned tomatoes, I add raw peeled potatoes when I simmer it, because that takes out the acid without having to add sugar and making it sweet. And I take those out before I puree the soup. And then when I puree the soup, I also add basil, and I'm adding cream. So that's a whole other layer. So it's a little bit more elaborate than making a can of Campbell's.
A little bit. So as you said, you were planning on opening a bricks and mortar restaurant before the Simmer truck idea came to you. What were the practical implications for deciding to open a food truck versus a restaurant, aside from, you know, things like, you know, where am I going to put gas into this thing?
Well, it was $40,000 versus $250,000 to start with. That's a pretty practical implication. And as my wife Jennifer and I started hashing this out, it just kept making more and more sense. So, okay, if we have a brick and mortar restaurant, it's open every day. Are we going to get to take a vacation? Are we going to get to take a day off? You know, if we don't want to run the truck, we don't take it out of the garage and we don't open. You know, if a location isn't working, we start the engine and we drive away and find another one. You know, and just as a you know, I'm kind of a romantic kind of adventurous kind of guy, and I like doing things that I think are cool. And it's way cooler to have a truck than it is to have a restaurant. And you know, we have friends in Portland where the food truck culture is huge, and you know, you look at places like Austin and Los Angeles where there's food trucks everywhere you look. That's starting in Milwaukee, but it hasn't quite gotten there, and I really would like to be a part of making that a huge part of the dining scene in the city, because people always, you know, you have the roach coach stereotype. People need to see that really great food can come off a truck, and it can.
The roach coach stereotype. This is the idea that that, you know, somebody who has this battered old you know, former ice cream truck with some anemic looking hot dogs going in a big vat.
Right, or the you know, there's a lot of really good but really kind of basic like taco trucks on the South Side. Those are terrific. I love eating at those places, but you know. But when you start going to other cities and seeing the amazing things people are doing with food trucks, and you're seeing food that's more creative coming off of trucks than you are coming out of a lot of restaurants.
Is that because can you adjust the menu more frequently when you're running a truck? I mean, I'm curious about the creative angle, because you have a bricks and mortar restaurant, you can have a very large menu, whereas I would imagine with a truck you're limited in what you can have on the truck on any given day.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's very limiting in terms of space and in terms of, you know, you have to be very careful about what equipment you put in the truck. It's 10 feet long in the cooking area. You can't put a whole lot of stuff there. You know, you have to decide what equipment you have. You have very limited storage space. So I think that is, so the answer to your question is kind of goes both ways. Yeah, you have to be creative in that way, but also, I mean, you could also just be very basic. I think that people are finding food trucks to be very sort of very freeing. You know, I mean, restaurants are more traditional. A food truck, there's really no rules. You do whatever you want.
I imagine people are curious. I mean, you know, there's not a food truck dealer on the west side of Milwaukee. You don't walk in and pick out a food truck and take it off the showroom floor. How do you get a food truck?
There are dealers in like there's a couple in California, and you can do that if you want to really pay through the nose. But you're right. It's a challenge. You know, there's a lot of used food trucks for sale. And we started looking in that direction, and we stopped looking in that direction when we saw the condition some of these things were in and what people were trying to sell. And it was a little scary, to be honest with you. We were looking at trucks that I didn't think would make it home.
There's probably not a big section in Kelly Blue Book for used food trucks either.
No, it's an evolving market, we'll say that. So I found a place in Ohio that customizes trucks, and he found us an actual bus.
You talked about the cooking area, but you're not going to be creating these soups on the truck, correct?
Correct. We are renting a kitchen that's owned by another food truck the Gouda girls, and we're renting that kitchen over in Bayview. And there's a few other food trucks that are working out of that space as well. So we're going to be making the soup there. We're going to be sealing it in 4-mil-thick boil-in bags, specific food service-grade bags, cooling those down in a nice bath. And then when we're on the truck, we have a fryer on the truck. We're going to fill that with water instead of with oil, and we're going to boil the soup to reheat it, and then we're going to hold it in the steam table and serve it to people there. We're also going to have salads with dressings, all the dressings we're going to make ourselves, and we're going to have paninis as well.
And in the time between now and when the food truck hits the road, you're testing recipes and perfecting things?
Testing recipes, going through the long permitting processes. I'm working on making sure everything is ready so that as soon as we have the truck, we can hit the streets right away. We just approve the actual design of the truck, the decals and things like that. I'm doing a lot of work on social media right now. We're just finishing up a Kickstarter to get us our last little bit of funding. You know, I'm learning the wonders of Twitter and Facebook. So, you know, it's been an education, and it's been actually kind of cool. We're getting a lot of people following us on Twitter and liking us on Facebook without having a product, and it's been pretty gratifying to see how excited people are about what we're doing.
This is, if everything goes as currently planned, hitting the road in May. Are you at all concerned about the image of soup as a cold weather food?
No. You know, I was thinking about that. My wife and I went on vacation last November to the Bahamas, and every place you go has conch chowder, which I'm going to make because it was awesome. But, you know, I mean, you're on a tropical island. It's 80 degrees and sunny, and everyone's eating soup. You know, and when we're at the courthouse on Thursdays, or at Schlitz Park on Tuesdays, or Red Arrow Park on Fridays, we're going to be sandwiched in between, you know, a truck serving hot barbecue and a truck serving burgers and fries, and you know, there's going to be plenty of other food that's just as hot as ours, and frankly, it's a lot heavier. So I'm not too worried about it.
You talked about these other food trucks out there. Obviously, you had to kind of survey the market to figure out what's out there. Are you fans of other food trucks in town?
Yeah. Every chance I get, I go to the Gouda Girls truck and grab one of their cheesesteaks because it's really good. I love American Euros, which is a cart. They just opened actually a brick and mortar restaurant half a block from my house. And I love their Euros. So yeah, there's some good food, and one of the nice things about food trucks is it's a community, and food trucks stick together, and we've had a lot of really nice conversations and gotten a lot of great support from the other food trucks that we've talked to, and you know, more food trucks is better for everybody, and everybody realizes that, and it's pretty cool.
Well, Steve Pearlstein, thanks so much. Best of luck to you.
Thanks, Mitch.
Steve Pearlstein is a former journalist and the current proprietor of The Simmer Truck, a food truck specializing in soup, which hits the road this weekend. You can learn much more about The Simmer Truck from a link at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Why our nation's forests should matter to people in the city, a program connects urban dwellers with the woods, and we'll learn about it when we return on WUWM.